James chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible said, James, a servant of God. That's a big title, isn't it? A servant. I would to God I was a servant like I ought to be. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for who, for both of them. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. So James is sending a message now, basically to the Jews, the Jewish people. But yet he's preaching the grace of God. As we get on down and we'll find out. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's hard to do, ain't it? Count it joy. Praise God, the devil's slapping me and knocking me about. Glory to God, hallelujah. I don't do that. I want to whine, moan, and groan. Then he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Somebody said, boy, I'd like to have more patience. Tribulation worketh patience. But he said in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that word perfect's not without sin, it's mature in the Lord. Grown up, adults. Got some adult ideas about the Word of God, not childlike faith. Then he said in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, read that. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you, see we're putting our emphasis on different words. If, that's a conditioned statement. If you don't do your part, God won't do his. That's a conditional statement. If any of you, that's of us, all of us, lack wisdom. Then it said, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. You'd be seated. Father, I pray tonight you'll speak to us and through us. Father, may the mind of God become our mind for the next little while, and may we think on the things of God and get everything else off our mind. Lord, I know we're tired in body and we're tired, Lord, and Lord, the things that we get involved in every day, but God, we need a touch from heaven. And I pray, God, tonight there be a refreshing from glory. Lord, I pray we'll get a fresh drink of water from the throne of God out of the well tonight. I pray there be a season and a moving and a troubling of the water in our soul that, God, we might be stirred. And we leave here tonight, Lord, we can say it was good to bend down to the house of God and we got something to take with us. Help us, Lord, to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and be what we ought to be. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Now I want to look at this tonight. There's three weapons tonight that all of us have as a child of God. I want to preach on three weapons and a refuge. I'm not going to use Jesus as the refuge. He is the refuge tonight, but I want to use it from the physical standpoint of where we are. Beloved, you do know tonight that we're pilgrims and strangers passing through a world of sin and sorrow, and this is not our permanent home. Some of you got your stakes drove up pretty deep, and you may feel like you're going to stay a while. But any moment now, any day now, any time now, we could be leaving here. And I want to make it count what I'm doing, that I'm doing it for the glory of God. But I'm going to give you three weapons. I mean three great weapons. I should say the three greatest weapons that any man or woman, and especially, and I'm talking about the child of God tonight, not talking about the world, they don't have it. The three greatest weapons of a child of God. Number one, and I've preached on this for ages, the Word of the Living God. Weapon number one. The devil can't handle it. By the way, you can't handle it. The world can't handle it. Our families can't handle it. The Word of God, it's a tremendous weapon. I'm talking about three great weapons. Three of the greatest weapons that you... That's better than any army tank. That's better than any air power you could find, brother. The greatest weapons that mankind as a child of God could have is, number one, the Word of God. Number two, and you probably know what that is. The second greatest weapon is the Spirit of the living God that dwells in us. Amen. We can't do nothing without Him. But with Him we can do all things. And that's what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the Holy Ghost, brother, is a seasoning of the Word of God. Amen. So we got to have the Spirit of God. We got the Spirit of God working heavily in our heart. And if we've got the Word of God working heavily in our heart, that's two great weapons that the devil can't handle. The devil can't handle the Spirit. The world can't handle the Spirit. Neither can you handle it. Amen. Because the Spirit of God is the power of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God drives it where it needs to go, and it's got the force. The power of God has got the force. I started to preach on faithful tonight. I thought about faithful. I got to looking at the word faithful, F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L. And I got to looking at that, and I thought, hey, man, there's something right there. If we're faithful tonight, I want you to know we're powerful with God. God looks for us to be faithful. But if you're full of faith, you can be faithful. Those two words, just break that word down. I had never seen that before. And I was sitting there today reading and that word faithful. And I got to thinking about faith. You know what I tell folks faith is? If you'll stop and think about what I have been saying for a long time, what faith is just believing God that He is what He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's what the Bible says. The Bible said that Abraham believed God, and God counted unto him for righteousness. Oh, he had some faith. Abraham, by faith, saw a city whose builder and maker is God. So faith made him move. So we're looking at that tonight in faith. And we'll see that God has blessed us. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God. And we can go do things that we could never do. If we got enough faith, we'd move mountains. We can turn the world upside down. Amen. If we got enough of the grace of God upon us tonight, I'll guarantee you God turn us upside down. That's weapon number two. Weapon number three of the greatest weapons of all the earth. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but I've went over it lots of times. It's prayer. Calling upon God. Did you know the devil don't know what to do with a praying Christian? Matter of fact, you can't handle them either. You can't handle them. The world don't know what to do with a praying Christian. Matter of fact, the church can't handle somebody that's praying all the time. You see, we take the Word of God in our heart and the Spirit of God upon it, and we seek the face of God, that's fellowship, and we stay with Him. Brother, I'll tell you, we're involved in the work of God. There's nothing can stop us from being victorious. Now, that's the three weapons. You know what the refuge is? I'm glad I'm here tonight. And it's what I want to call the refuge is the local church. Amen. Now, some folks don't put too much emphasis on the local church. It don't mean much. But God instituted and ordained and established the local church. Amen. You remember the Samaritan? There was a man he fell among the thieves, and they come out and stole everything he had and left him half dead. Amen. Kind of reminds me of some of us at church. If you're half dead, it means you're half alive, and that's about the way some of us are. And so here he is. The Levite comes by, the priest comes by, they go by on the other side. But when the good Samaritan come, he went where he was and he poured in oil and wine. Oil is the type of the Spirit of God, and wine is the joy that God gives us. Amen. He gave him the touch of God, and he put him on his own beast and took him down to the lodge of the place he is going to put him in. And he said, here, take care of him till I come again. And if there's any, oh, and then I'll take care of it. That place or that inn that he took him to is a type of the church. Amen. God saves us and births us into the family of God. And then he takes us and puts us in the church. And so our lives are centered around the church. Amen. Most time our lives are centered around everything else. But God intended for us to have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and prayer. And the church is my refuge. I can fight the devil on Monday from the living room. I can fight the devil on Monday at Walmart. I can fight the devil on the job on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and all the rest of the week. But I want to tell you, when we come to church like tonight on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning and Sunday night, this is our refuge from that world out there that despises us and hates us. This is my refuge. Hey, I hadn't had nobody. I don't want nobody to do that. I hadn't had nobody tonight to get on my case since I've been in. You probably wanted to, but God kept you off of me. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying tonight I come to refuge, to the house of God for refuge, and here I can find some comfort, I can find some strength, I can find some help, I can find some hope, I can get something here that I can't get at the Walmart store. I can go to Ingles and get me something to eat, satisfy my flesh, and go to Walmart and get some things I need to help some of the needs that I have. But I'll tell you, when I go to the church house, I get something that goes down deeper than my body. It goes down into my soul and gives me something that will move me and motivate me for the glory of God. Now I'm going to take the book of James. I was going to take more than that, but I know I ain't going to have time now. And we're going to take the book of James. Just show you tonight what praying will do. That's what I want to major on. I give you the weapons. You go home and take over and take charge. Now, if you'll take them weapons and use them like God wants you to, and one I want to talk about tonight is exercising our faith through prayer and praying for God to do something. Prayer changes things. The more you pray, the more you'll become like God, the more you'll know about God, and the more you'll know what you need to do about it. Amen. I studied this all evening. I said, and studied that all evening. And I was just about as blank. And my wife said, what you preaching tonight? And I don't usually tell nobody what I'm preaching. And I just don't, because that's between me and the Lord. It's none of your business till I get here. Amen. The reason is because, you know, when I was just young, you heard me tell the story. Got to tell it again. We were living and renting a little house down here. This is before we ever bought a house. And we was renting a little house, and I was serious about my, I've always been serious about my preaching. And I went in the back bedroom. I didn't have a study, didn't have nothing like that. I went in the back bedroom, sat on the side of the bed, and read my Bible and tried to figure out what I was going to preach on Sunday. This is on Saturday afternoon. The little house is small. And I studied, and God showed me something. I don't even remember where it was. And the script showed me something. And I had such a good time. It blessed my soul. So I decided I'd try that out. And I come walking out of the bedroom, went in the dining room, pulled a dining room chair out, sat in the middle of the floor, and I told my wife, sit down. She did. And I took my scriptures and I read them, and I walked around and around and around that chair. And I preached to her like she is the only one existing. And it was good. I liked it. Amen. Enjoyed it. You'd have thought we was in church somewhere. She was just listening. Well, the next day, I'd done practices on Saturday night. Actually, I'd done preached the fire out of it. Wasn't nothing there anymore. And I went to church that morning and got up and preached. There wasn't nothing there, and it's dead cold and as last year's wasp nest. And brother, I want to tell you, I have never done that again. So I ain't telling you what I'm preaching till I get here. I may tell you I don't know what I'm doing, preaching, and I may tell you I've got a message. My wife says, now, what are you preaching? I said, I'm preaching the Word of God. And that's all you need to know. Amen. So anyhow, I'm saying to us, we need to take this Bible. Let it sink deep down in our soul, season it with the Holy Ghost. And then after God gets a hold of that, get down on our knees and seek the face of God. That's what I did to see. After I'd studied all this, I sat back and leaned back and I said, Lord, I'm cold and dead and I don't know what to preach tonight. And you're going to have to give me something to touch the people with tonight. And here it is. Amen. God just, and I thought, amen. I didn't have time to go to the internet and get nothing. Of course, I don't know how. Amen. I didn't have time to look at all the literature I've got. I'll just study on that all the time and let God work on you. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But God gave me this. Three greatest weapons. The Word of God and the Spirit of God and prayer. And then He gives me a refuge at the house of God. Amen. To hide from everything out there the devil's got to offer. When I get through tonight, if I can get what I need here through the preaching the Word of God at the house of God, I can go out with a fresh touch of God on me and I can go out and fight the devil. Now, number one, I'll give you some things prayer will do for you. Number one, chapter 1, verse 5, the book of James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him, what's that word? Ask of God. Asking of God is praying. If you're not smart enough in the Word of God, you ought to ask God to make you smarter. They, nobody in here knows it all. Amen. There's nobody in here knows everything we ought to know. There's nobody in here but what haven't we let things slip, and we would have known more if we'd have studied more and prayed more down through the years. But if you got a lack of wisdom tonight, let him ask of God. Then the Bible said he gives liberally. Amen. God, that's the only kind of giving God does, liberally. But anyhow, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So we find tonight that if we want to have some help, we want to have some better understanding, we want to have some wisdom of God. There's a lot of difference between knowledge and a lot of difference between it and wisdom. You can get knowledge out of a book, but you can't get a wisdom out of a book, amen, unless it's the book of God. Amen. So we give God the praise for it. One of my first prayers I say tonight, it ought to be in yours as well, is, Lord, give us some wisdom. This world needs some wisdom, and it needs some wise Christians. Amen, we do. We need to be wise. The Lord told us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need that wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. Proverbs talks about wisdom. Chapter after chapter, verse after verse, Solomon talks. He had the wisdom of God. And he spoke very well about the wisdom of God. Let's go to James chapter 4. We'll move back and forth in the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 4. And I want us to look down in verse number 7. And we'll find tonight how praying will help us. It'll give us wisdom, number one. Number two, James chapter 4, verse number 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is a scripture that's been misconstrued and misquoted and misused down through the ages. I've heard him say, well, preacher, you know if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You're just getting hyped that verse. The key tonight is in the first part of that verse. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. A Christian that's not submitted to God, the devil can make havoc out of him tonight. I want to say tonight that the devil can keep the devil off of us. I mean, God can keep the devil off of us if we pray. The devil can stay on our case, but God can keep the devil off of us through prayer. I remember this back years ago. Good preacher friend of mine, he's about the same age I am now. Well, he was then too, but we pray every evening. Pray every night. I'd work on a public job. He worked on a public job. He cut meat for one of the grocery stores. In the afternoon, he'd get together with me and we'd meet together over on his property down below it. And we'd pray. And of course in the summertime it's not too bad, you know, it's nice. We'd crawl over the fences and go down through the pasture and get over there on the hill. And we'd just get down and pray. And we'd seek the face of God. We've had some good prayer meetings there. God is blessing. And I remember one night we went down. And I mean every night we go down and pray. You could feel the power of God. God touched. And just two old boys over on the hillside praying. No boat, nowhere around us was anybody. And it was kind of calm and quiet. We'd pray and, amen, get a little excited. And there'd be a spring in our step. We come back. We didn't have to crawl over the fence so much. We just about could jump it. But I'm telling you, we'd get back to the house. Next night, we'd go again. But one particular night, we went over there to pray just like we always did. Nobody around that we knowed of. Got down to pray. And I noticed I felt and something is kind of restraining me. And I started praying. I didn't say anything. And I couldn't get that liberty to pray. And I couldn't get that unction. So I stopped and he stopped. And I said, "Brother, do you feel what I feel?" He said, "I sure do. I feel an evil presence." Now you may not know nothing about that, may not even agree with it or nothing. That's all right. I was there and tell you about it. I said, "Brother, we just need to pray some more." We got down to praying. Praying a little bit more and praying a little bit more and praying another little bit more. And all of a sudden we felt that looseness of the Spirit of God and the touch of God. And we could feel that liberty. Now some of y'all haven't prayed enough to even know when you're getting in touch and ain't getting in touch. That's the reason you were questioning what I'm saying. But if you've ever prayed, you know when you've prayed. I said, if you've ever prayed, you know when you've prayed. Now, you said, "I've been praying all my life." But there's sometimes you ain't prayed when you prayed. You say, "I don't understand that." Amen. Well, I'll explain it to you later. You have a problem. Most of you understand what I'm talking about. So we got to praying and praying in the presence of God. We got to, he got to touching us and we got to, and we backed off and quit praying. And there's that presence again. I said, "We need to pray." We prayed some more. And every time we had back off, that evil presence is there. I didn't know what it was for a week or two. Come find out there's a bunch of bootleggers down the hill at the steel. Amen. We had powers of darkness down. It's a wonder we didn't get shot. But I'm saying to you, the power of God can back the devil off. And brother, the more you pray, the farther the devil's going to stay on your stay away from you and not get on your case. You pray him away. He don't like to come near when somebody's praying. That's why he keeps you from praying. That's why he keeps you out of the Word of God. That's why he keeps the Spirit of God off of you. He knows he's got you defeated and you live down in the mouth of stepping on your bottom lip, amen, all the time because you don't have those weapons in use. Well, there's something else. Let's go to James chapter 5. I won't hold you long, but James chapter 5. You said, doesn't help me too long. All right. You'll get over it. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another. That's not easy to do. Not something we want to do, but it said, and pray one for another. God told me to pray for you, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, let's talk about another subject. We know we use that, and I'm going to go back and get to the earlier part of that in just a minute. But what we need to do is have some effectual fervent prayers. Effectual means effective. It comes from the root word effective. And I look at their effect and I say, tonight our prayers need to be effectual. Needs to be something to them. Not just words. But they're coming from a heart. Coming from the soul. Our mind needs to be stirred. And then fervent, that's serious praying. God said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want you to know tonight, brother, if you want to get restored, sometimes I need to get restored. I don't know about you, but I get out of kilter. I'm all right tonight, praise God. I feel good. But you let me have a little fresh air out there tonight, and somebody say something, or maybe something happened, or something takes place, or something comes up, and the next thing you know, I'm down in the mouth again, and I need a touch of God. I need a constant touch of God, and the effectual fervent prayer of God availeth much and keeps me in line. Somebody said, I prayed last week. How much am I supposed to pray? And you're going to be critical of the Muslims for praying 5-7 times a day. You said, that's a ritual they're going through. Amen. It is. But I'll tell you this much. You said, I wouldn't put on a show like that. Well, let me just say this much to you. Do you remember a man by the name of Daniel? You remember him in the scriptures? The Bible said Daniel prayed how many times a day? 3 times a day. And the devil didn't like that. Now, I'm not telling you 3 times is enough. And I ain't worried about it, because I'm telling you right now, most of you don't pray 3 times a day. Amen. It'd be better just have one long prayer, wouldn't it? Pray all day. Guess what? Daniel prayed. Then they come to the king and said, King, we want to make a decree that if anybody prays to anybody but you for the next 30 days, we want to throw them in the den of lions. The king said, hey, that sounds good. He wasn't thinking about Daniel. And the Bible said that Daniel went down there and opened the window and prayed. You know what Baptist done, don't you? They'd have shut the window, tacked it up pretty good, and pulled the shades, and had what they call a silent prayer. And they heard him. They know he prayed 3 times a day. They knew when to listen for him. I just see one of them standing out there saying, 15 more minutes, old Daniel's going to pray. We got him. 5 more minutes, he's going to pray. Just about. Our Father, God help us. He's praying. And they got him. And threw him in the den of lions. And God protected him, took care of him. You understand what I'm saying tonight? The devil don't like us praying. But if we want to get some restoration or some restoring, I need to be restored. You've got a preacher here at this church tonight that needs to be restored sometimes. I need some restoration from God. A lot of times. Do you know tonight, I've gone to the table and sit down and eat a good meal, and I know you felt that same way. Have you ever eat something that was put on the table, and that's maybe one of your favorite foods, one more bite. I think I'll take one more bite. And you poke it in every crack and crevice of your stomach, and one more bite. Because it's just something you love. And then you say, oh, Lord, have mercy, I ate too much. I don't think I'll ever eat again. Have you ever said that? I don't think I'll ever eat again. I don't want never eat. I don't want to ever eat again. I eat too much. I ain't hungry, and I don't want anything. But isn't it amazing? Just in a few little hours. Amen. You say, I go think I'm going to go find me something else to eat. Amen. And our prayer life ought to get like that. And we ought to be hungry for God. And we prayed. Well, you know what that does? It restores us. Have you ever got the place? And I noticed in the last 10 years, and I've had a lot of sugar problems. I didn't realize when I got old I was going to be sweet. And so I had to watch what I eat sugar-wise. And a lot of times you have to eat a little more often. But sometimes you have a sugar problem and it gets too low if you don't keep eating. Of course, I ain't seemed to have that problem in a long time. They told me that would happen and I didn't want it to happen, so I keep eating. But let me tell you something tonight. There's some times that you can get to the place that you get weak if you don't eat on time. Sometimes in the daytime, my wife always says, well, you know, you always eat at 12 o'clock at the daytime, up in the morning, eating early, and you eat in the afternoon. And sometimes you'll say, she's not hungry till 1, 2 o'clock, sometimes after that. And I have to eat. She says, you just want to eat on right on. I said, I've always done that. I ain't changing it. But sometimes if I go past my lunchtime, I start feeling I get sluggish. And I need a little bit. And guess what it does? Revives me right back up. I have to go to the throne of God and get some restoring and get revived. One more thing and I'm going to quit. In James chapter number 5 verse 13. It said, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Did you see that word prayer or pray? It's mentioned three times in them little verses right there. So if we want to get our physical health right, we trust the Lord to do that. And if we want to have our spiritual health right, we're going to have to pray. Amen. Now, we pray too little. Amen. Don't nobody in here come to me after service tonight and say, preacher, I prayed too much today. You do. I'm going to get you by the hand, and I'm going to march you back down here to the altar, and we're going to pray for an hour. Amen. You ain't prayed too much today. Matter of fact, you didn't pray too much yesterday. I don't know if there's ever been a time in your life that you prayed too much, but I guarantee you, you've prayed too little. So the three great weapons we have, the Word of God, Spirit of God, prayer, and then the little refuge we have to enjoy each other's fellowship is right here. Amen. I don't care what. Why the devil and all his little cohorts may be camped out on the outside out there. We're in here, got the door locked. Amen! And so we're in here by ourselves. And this is our little world and our little refuge. And we're going to get out in a minute and go. Well, let's keep praying. Heads bowed. God bless you tonight. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord.